Our scripture passage this morning comes from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he receives circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but who have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, May, for reading scripture to us this morning. And thank you, those of you who are inquiring and concerned of my health after last Sunday. After I said to you that I have been diagnosed with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and high blood sugar levels. Boy, I can't wait for Pastor Josh to come. Please join us in the sermon process in the next couple of weeks. Please join us in praying. Please join us in seeking God's will to see if Josh and Jenny is the right fit for us here at Fraserlands going forward. Last week, we saw that the tide was finally turning. It was finally turning. As Paul had addressed the topic of sin for 3.5 chapters, he begins his letter in that way to the Romans. You see, in essence, he was saying to the Jews and Gentiles alike, that we have one thing in common. All human beings have one thing in common with one another, and that is, we all sin. We all sin. This is the power of sin that the Apostle Paul talks about. But then in chapter 3, verse 21, things begin to change. And he uses the words, but now, in reference to the salvation that will come through Jesus Christ. But now, in chapter 3 onwards, we're all justified because of the work that Christ did on the cross, because of his redemption for us, his shed blood for us, all are justified. So after having talked about sin, Paul now turns to the topic of salvation near the middle of chapter 3. This is the next major theme that we're going to look at in the book of Romans. And it'll go from chapter 3, in the middle of it, to the end of chapter 5. Paul makes the point that our justification and our righteousness comes through faith. It comes through faith. He says this in Romans 3, 22 to 28. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, Paul writes. In today's passage of scripture that was read in Romans 4, we look at an example of what this justification by faith looks like in Abraham's life. The faith of Abraham. You see, Paul chose Abraham as an illustration of his justification by faith because Abraham was the founding father of the Jewish people. And they regarded him as having been justified by works, in which case he would have something to boast about. But this is not to be so, Paul says. You see, Paul refers to Genesis 15, in which the Lord appears to Abraham in a vision. Remember, this was the account of Abraham's childlessness in spite of God's promise to him to give him an heir. But this heir would one day be a blessing to all nations. God brings Abraham in Genesis 15 outside his tent to a dark, starlit night. Now imagine the night sky, okay? Imagine the night sky. We don't have much of this in our city. But by the way, how many of you go camping? Okay. All right, some of you. I don't mean glamping, okay? I don't mean the glamorous camping type that some of you guys do with RV vehicles and microwaves and air conditioning and cooking utensils and all that. How many of you actually go camping? Okay. I'll include those who glamp too, okay? I won't want to leave anyone out. Now imagine this night sky. It's probably about 5,000 years ago. There were no city lights, no pollution. It was out in the desert. And Abraham was asked to look toward heaven and to count the number of stars. And I can imagine him doing this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. 200, 300, 400, 500. And then getting utterly overwhelmed as he counts. He's overwhelmed by it all. Because the sky was so full of stars, it was impossible to count. And I can see God saying to him then, so shall your offspring be. So shall your descendants be. As numerous as the stars in the sky, so shall your offspring be. You see, the childless Abraham believed God, the Bible says. And his faith was credited to him as righteousness. That is, he was justified by faith. Or more specifically, Abraham was justified by grace through faith. Here we can see that Abraham's faith preceded everything else. His faith was before the other things that may have seen and may have been seen as reasons for why and how he was justified. In verse 4 to 8, we see that his faith was before his works. It was before his works. Let's read this again. It says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. And then in verse 9 to 12, we see that his faith was before his circumcision. Again, in verse 9, it says this: Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. You see, it was in Genesis 12 that Abraham believed and he obeyed the Lord. But it wasn't until Genesis 17 that he was circumcised. This was a span of about 14 to 15 years between Genesis 12 and 17, when he believed and when he was circumcised. So first, he was justified by faith, and then through circumcision. As the Bible says, as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. And then in verses 13 to 16, we see that Abraham's faith was before the law. It was before the law. Verse 14 says this: It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. See, Abraham was not justified by works or by circumcision or by the law. All these came later, Paul says. His justification was by faith alone, and so is ours. So is ours. We're justified, that is, we're made right with God by faith. The true children of Abraham are believers in Jesus Christ. You and I are children of Abraham because of our faith in God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of our faith in the promises of God. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham relied on God's promises. He relied on God's promises first because of God's power, because of God's power. He's able to keep his promises to Abraham and to us, because God does not make any promises that he can't keep. And how can we be sure of this? Have we seen God at work in this way? Well, here Paul says that God's power is revealed in the resurrection. Paul says in verse 17, the God who gives life to the dead. He's the God who gives life to the dead. The calling forth of Lazarus from the tomb after being buried for 4 days. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself after having been crucified on the cross and dying for our sins. But these are incredible reminders to us of God's power at work in order to bring about the fulfillment of his promises. Verse 18 says this: Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. His power is revealed in the resurrection. As well, God's power is revealed in the creation. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Well, every day we can see this. Every day we marvel at the power of God's creation all around us. You know, all we need to do is to open our eyes and to see God's creative power. Paul says in verse 20 of chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." You see, we are called to put our faith and trust in a God who is all-powerful, a God who creates, and also a God who resurrects. Abraham relied on God's promises because of God's power. Second, Abraham relied on God's promises because of God's faithfulness. Because of God's faithfulness. God can be relied on to keep his promises to us because he is faithful. The faithfulness of God. You see, Abraham knew all about his situation. He didn't turn a blind eye to the situation that he was in. His body was failing him. And Sarah was no spring chicken herself. You know, Abraham had a realistic view of himself. He had a realistic view of his situation. He had a realistic view of the circumstances he found himself in. But I like what John Stott said. He said, Abraham looked at his problems in the light of God's promises. He looked at his problems in the light of God's promises. You know, somehow the problems began to shrink as he did this, as the promises grow in his mind and his reflection of what God promised him. You know, the thing that Abraham wanted most, it had not yet been realized in his life. The thing he wanted the very most had not been realized yet in his life. A son, an heir. This was the most important and crucial thing to him and even to any culture, but especially in Abraham's situation. As the Lord has said that all nations and all peoples on earth will be blessed through him and his offspring and his descendants. But it had not been realized yet in his life. What has not been realized in our church that the Lord has promised us, that God has given to us as his vision for Fraserlands? Is it not that we would one day be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ? Now, it may not be in my lifetime, but young people, young adults amongst us, remember this. Remember God's faithfulness when one day every other seat next to you will be filled with people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Every other seat next to you. And I pray that then, when you realize that and you see the fruition of God's promise realized in your lifetime, that you will give thanks to God.
that you will give thanks to God for his great faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to us as a church, his beautiful bride here at Fraser Lands. You see, our faithfulness is based on the faithfulness of God. Our faithfulness is based on the faithfulness of God. It is not us being faithful, but God being faithful to us. He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not, things that don't even exist at the moment. He can create faith where there is no faith. He can give peace where there is no peace. He can bring about reconciliation when there's only brokenness in our lives. Broken friendships, broken relationships, broken marriages. God can call into existence the things that do not presently exist. There will be truth where there were once only lies. There will be righteousness where there's only now unrighteousness. There will be a new and vibrant spiritual life where there was only a decrepit, empty, and sinful life. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not can raise dead things to life again. Whether it be our physical health, our mental health, or our spiritual health. You see, nothingness and death are not a problem to God. Nothingness and death are not a problem to God. For it is out of nothing that God created the universe. And it is out of death, that he raised Jesus back to life, to a glorious and resurrected life. Abraham believed in the one who is believable. He believed God's word. You see, faith is trusting in the trustworthiness of God. Faith is trusting in the trustworthiness of God. Paul ends chapter 4 by saying this. He says, the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, meaning not for Abraham alone, but also for us. Also for us. To whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins, the Lord Jesus that is, and was raised to life for our justification, for our right standing before God, for our right relationship with God, if we believe. Abraham relied on God's promises because of God's power, because of God's faithfulness. And so as I was thinking, as I was just preparing for this message, what are some of the promises that we have from God? We know what God promised Abraham, but what are some of the promises that we have from God, even today, as his people? As people maybe even in search of God this morning. Let me just list out some of them for you. And I'm not going to be able to read all of them to you because even what I have now, which is like 8 slides worth, it's only a fraction of God's promises to us. A fraction of it. And with these 8 slides, I'm just going to read 1, maybe 2 verses to you of what God's promises to us are even today. God says in
Isaiah 40, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's promises also says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Another promise from the Lord, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. I want to read Isaiah 43 too, because Justin led a song that kind of led us into this. So, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, the Lord says. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Another promise from the God. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. God's promise says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things that you want, that you crave for, that you long for, that you think you can do without. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. A precious promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Lord says, the prophet says, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. The last one I want to leave with you amongst many, many, many God's promises. Fraser Lands, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What promises from God has not yet been realized in your life? What promises from God has not yet been realized in your life? At this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. God's promises for us will be realized in God's time, in God's way, and according to God's promises for us. Our role as his children, as sons and daughters of the Most High, is to persevere in our faith, to trust in the one who is trustworthy. Our faithfulness comes from the faithfulness of God to believe the Lord so that it can be credited to us as righteousness, to not give up, to not give up. I also want to invite our prayer ministry team at this time to come forward as well. If you're part of the prayer ministry team, please come forward this time. Or please go to the station. Some of them will be up front here. Some of them will be at the back of the sanctuary to the sides. I just want to say at this time, I want to declare this sanctuary a safe place for you to come to the Lord with whatever he has placed in your heart. I want to declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that this sanctuary today will be a safe place for you to come to the Lord, to bring whatever the Lord has placed into your heart this morning or this week, to to allow him to strengthen your faith in those areas in which you feel you need prayer for. And even as we sing these next few songs, I invite you to get out of your seats, to come forward, and to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you through our prayer ministers here this morning. If the Lord is speaking to you this morning, do not hold back. If the Lord is placing something in your heart this morning that he wants you to have renewed strength, renewed faith, do not hesitate. The Lord is calling you by his Spirit this morning to receive his empowering, his strengthening, his prayers, his healing even, as we trust in him. Let's stand together, shall we? And as we sing these next few songs, I invite you, if the Lord is calling you, come forward, share with our prayer ministers what it is that they can pray for you for, and allow the Spirit of God to empower you, to uplift you, to give you his faith for the journey ahead. Let's sing, let's worship, let's pray together, even as you come forward.